Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
I know I've mentioned to you that I, on many mornings, go out for a walk. Usually I walk 4 to 5 miles. I do it because it's good for my emotional health. It's, I'm sure, good somewhat for my physical health, but it's always good to be out there. Today when I was walking, I saw a fawn with her mother, and it was just very, very pleasant. I also, along one stretch of the road, saw some turkeys, and those kinds of things are just uplifting to me, and it's always a pleasure for me to go for a walk. So the one thing I did today is I walked over toward Interstate 71, and I stood there for a few moments at the overpass, just watching the traffic flying under the overpass. And I was reminded that I recently was told that over 42,000 cars go under that underpass every single solitary day. And they were flying, just like bees coming out of a nest. They were going wherever they were going and for whatever reasons. And I began to think about that. I mean, my goodness gracious, are they all late? Why are they traveling so fast? And as I thought about it, I came to the conclusion, first, that I understand this internal drive, but that I think to some degree there's this internal sense of urgency that many of us have. That on one hand, it kind of produces a desire to get somewhere, even though we don't know where the place is that we're so longing to get to is. On the other hand, I think part of this desire to press on and to move fast, this urgency, well, I think there's some pain behind it, and I think there's also some loneliness. In other words, standing at this overpass, looking at these cars flying by underneath, I began to think about people and how much desire is raging up with inside of them. And yet I have this suspicion that they're not completely aware of what object that desire should actually be focused upon. And I think there's also some internal pain. And by the way, I've felt all of these in my own life. There's some internal pain in people trying to get away from it, putting some distance between them and that internal angst. And all along, as people are rushing to and fro, trying to fulfill some need inside that they're not clear about, and trying to kill a pain that they're not even sure of its origin, there is the voice of our Lord. And he speaks out and he keeps saying to all of us, come to me. Come to me. And then in that invitation, there are words like rest, ease, gentleness, humility. I don't think the pace at which people were flying under the underpass, and how that's a symbol of life itself, that there are many of us who are really living with a deep internal sense of rest. That we're not having to grab hold of somebody, grab hold of something, lay hold of some possession, some desire in order that we can be fulfilled in life. I look at those words that come from Matthew 18, rest, ease, gentleness, humility. Boy, there's something about those that deep inside I want to cry out, yes. But also inside, and I wonder if you ever experienced it, there's this nagging dis-ease, an anxiety, an urgency that seems to keep pressing me on as though I'm in some race and that if I slow down, I will be the loser. how absolutely untrue that is. So after I went on my walk, I was able to spend some time reading scripture, and I began to read the book of Jeremiah, and I came into this chapter 2, and you know, the Lord was talking through Jeremiah about the fact that he had been faithful to Israel. He had been a good husband. He had provided for them. And he couldn't find out why they had turned away from him. He even says, "What fault did you find in me that you would stray from me?" And he says, "And yet they turned to worthless idols, idols that were worthless in themselves." And then there's this passage in which the Lord says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." There's something powerful about that. Look at these two words, or two teachings, two sins. First, forsaken God, who is the spring of living water. This whole idea of spring, how the water just gushes forth and there's nothing that you need to do. It's always there. I remember when I was a kid, I played Little League Baseball down in this little flat area by the railroad tracks. That's where our teams would play for Little League. And up in the woods beyond the field was a spring. And one of the things we would always do is run up there and we would take our hands and we would dip down into that spring and we would drink the clearest water. Didn't have to work for it. Didn't have to strain for it. Always there, always satisfying. And the scripture says that God is not only a spring, but he's a spring of living water, water that flows, water that's healthy. And what he says here is that the Israelites, that they had forsaken him, this living spring, and instead they went and they dug cisterns, and in the end, they're cisterns that are broken, and they can't even hold water. Now, can you imagine the difference of this? Could you imagine someone that bought a piece of land, and on that land is a fresh spring? It has cool water, abundant water, safe water, continuously flowing water. And the person ignores it and instead decides to get a pick and shovel and dig a cistern to collect rainwater. And even after they've dug it, it's cracked and the water goes in from the rain and yet it leaks out into the earth. That would be ridiculous, isn't it? And yet what God said is that this is something that his people here in the book of Jeremiah have done. Now, I think about that, and man, there's a lot of ways in which I would like to think that I would never turn away from the Lord, and yet I'm sure there are times I do, that this internal angst, this drive, this nagging, this anxiety, I begin to try to find something that's going to satisfy it, and I look to a whole bunch of things that the world seems to be offering. I invest in them, and then in the end, there's just nothing to it. You know, it's kind of similar to the story of the sower, isn't it? Where the seed is sown, and some of it goes on thorny ground, and some of it goes in rocky soil, and it kind of springs up, but it never has life because it's choked out by all the other things that are trying to occupy space in the soil of our hearts. Now, the story in Scripture goes on. You see, Israel, who had God as their father, their husband, and he was providing all that they needed, Israel began to make alliances with Egypt and Assyria in order to meet their needs, in order to feel safe. And God challenged that. He said, why do you go and make an alliance? Why do you turn to Egypt and Assyria when I'm here to provide everything you want? Now, we don't have an Egypt and an Assyria in a literal sense, but I wonder if there aren't times in which we turn to other things other than God to find safety and security, meaning, other things other than God to deal with the deep internal angst and issues that are present in our own life. Money, fame, power. And I can tell you, I've felt that angst. There are days I feel that angst. I want to see that need met. I want to find that peace. I want to, you know, reach out and fulfill that desire. And all of a sudden, the world applauds as I begin to think of going to my own form of Egypt, my own form of Assyria. Instead of meeting God in the angst, meeting God in the desire, finding out what's driving it, and being able to come to the one that says, come to me, I will bring you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I am gentle and humble of heart. I think this is a very important teaching for us that comes straight from God's word, that God doesn't want us to have to turn to things other than the things he provides. He has a way of peace. He has a fulfillment deep inside. And when we're not fulfilled, why don't we enter in dialogue with him and ask, what's going on inside, Father? I'm not feeling that rest. And I believe God will show us where there might be an unrepaired rupture, where there might be a false belief we're living by. Maybe there's a loss that we haven't actually grieved. Maybe there's a behavior that we're engaging in that isn't healthy. And I believe God will show us that. He will meet us there, and he can once again bring us into this deep place of rest. I want to do an inventory. Holy Spirit, help me do this inventory. Do I at times work hard to dig a cistern when in fact there is a spring of living water already available to me? I'm just not turning there. Do I make alliances with other entities? My own form of Egypt, my own form of Assyria. By the way, later on in the scripture it says, which I think is very interesting, that in the end, when you make these alliances, you're the one that leaves with your hands above your head, meaning you become a prisoner. How many times has that happened in our life? We've turned to something to meet a deep need or to kill a pain, and at first it seemed to be helpful to us, but the next thing you know, it's controlling us. We're its prisoner, and all the while, our Father is there beckoning us to come. That's the wonderful thing about here in this story that comes out of the book of Jeremiah is God keeps saying to his children, come back to me. Come on home to me. Now, I want you to know this. I know that I'm not talking to people that have wandered so far away they no longer believe in God, but I think there are subtle ways in which we can begin to wander away from the heart of God's spring of living water, where we can begin to try on our own to meet these deep needs and not really experience God in the midst of our cry. And so why don't we just invite the Holy Spirit to show us, are there Egypt and Assyrias in our lives? Are there places we're turning other than to God? Let God bring it up. Maybe he won't deal with all of them at once. Maybe the Lord in his tenderness will just show us, here's one place in your life where you've turned away from me rather than toward me. And we can ask the Holy Spirit to help us, and we can lay that down, all because God loves us so much. Listen, what God is saying to you, Jesus, our Lord, he's saying to you, I think when you need a deep internal rest, come to me. I will give you that rest. That's a good word, isn't it? Well, that's God's word. May you always remember the delight of God, how he loves you, how he crossed the universe for you, and how his face shines upon you. Until we're together again.